to Turbin. Turbin's in for the touchdown.
Have fun, play with some heart, play with passion.
Turbin is in. He gets the call. On second down and goal, and pushes it through, and the Colts have scored a touchdown.
Welcome back, you guys, to another roundtable. We've been having some really great conversation, and I can't wait to welcome all of our fantastic guests on here today. We're going to have an awesome, awesome roundtable, all supporting the Equal Justice Initiative.
Y'all, we got the police on the show today.
Just some random police officer that we pulled out the street, and he just
came on the show. With the police. What song is that from? Bridget? What song is it from, officer?
Somebody just asked a tribute.
You don't know what movie that's from?
I can't right now. I can't even really hear you.
How many times do I have to quote the same movie?
Training Day. It's going out on a limb. I have no clue.
I'm focused on box. I'm not even listening to you, to be honest.
Yes,
I'm
you are
looking
listening
at on my screens. I'm making sure everyone is on here. Nobody's disappearing.
Gosh.
I've got bigger things to worry about.
Next Friday. Listen, we want to welcome you guys to the show. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing okay?
Great.
Solid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Ash, have you gotten over the Olympics happening this year?
No. It hurts because I've been training so hard this year, and for that to get just snatched away, it hurts. It hurts. I should be a two-time Olympian by now, but we got next year.
Yeah,
we got next year.
Yeah, she was saying she doesn't even want to see football season happen, guys.
Don't even want to see football season.
Q, how you feel about that, man?
Hey, man, I can understand her pain.
Thank you,
I can understand it. I've been knowing Ash for a long time, so she good people.
You guys went to college together. That's right, man.
Yes, sir.
What do you think, man? You think obviously we've had the Olympics. Shut down. Baseball took a long time to get something right. The NBA, WNBA looks like it's going to happen, but then it's like you can pull out if you want to. Now the whole thing looks like it ain't. Pull out if you want to. Now the whole thing looks like it ain't. It's not going to go down. The NFL, do you have confidence that we're going to be able to play this year or what?
I think I was a lot confident maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the way things going now, you seeing – that this is just getting worse. I'm in Austin, I'm in Texas. So, it's terrible out here, and I'm from Houston and it's cold red out there. So I don't know how it's going to happen, but we just got to trust that something happen. But to me, it don't really make a difference. I'm good. We play or not.
I feel you, man. And I can't imagine, how it's been for you, officer, first with COVID, obviously being someone who has to be the protector of the people, essentially, and then obviously the protests, happening and stuff like that, and we'll get into to some more details a little bit later. But in general, man, how's it been going for you personally from a work standpoint?
Definitely, when COVID hit, it made long hours, just of a lot of sitting and relaxing. Not so much relaxing, but not so much productivity going on. But it was kind of cool because we drive around the neighborhoods. Everyone's home. All the family's home. They're outside playing. So it was kind of cool to see, the whole family, dads, moms, kids, everyone's playing ball in the yard. So that, from that aspect, it was actually really cool to see. Didn't get to interact very much because you had to keep your distance and everything from the car. But during COVID, it was actually pretty cool. Then we did birthday parades for kids that didn't have birthday parties.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that.
Make birthday signs, sweet. And we had little goodie bags, little gifts, and we drove around, turned on the siren, sang happy birthday, which I'm a terrible singer, but I felt like that was more like heartfelt, that was so bad. We had a bunch of cops singing to a little six-year-old, and it was just so bad, but it was fun.
How'd you guys deal with having partners? Did you have to go solo all of a sudden?
So we don't have a partner where I'm at for the department I work for. But we instead of meeting and roll call every day, we would have Zoom meetings from our cars So that was weird. We weren't really allowed to be in the office with more than a couple of people. So you kind of had to keep your distance there. So it was definitely a little weird from that aspect. But yeah, so nothing really changed as far as partners go, because we don't have partners. We just have canines, but they're allowed to be with their own.
Hey, that's a partner. I've got a German Shepherd, let me tell you.
I feel you.
They were able to still ride together and everything. But yeah. As far as partner goes, yeah, we don't have partners anyways. So, but agencies around us that have partners, I think they were still able to be riding together.
Well, we want to keep the conversation going, man. We want to share, you know, our perspectives. Different perspectives, different backgrounds, different, you know, areas where we've grown up and seen different things. Renee, I want to start with you. Where are we, do you think, right now? Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Obviously, like, I think they just had the hearing, Bridget, right, for George Floyd. There's still a lot of talk about Breonna Taylor and you know, and those officers. And anything we say, listen, we're not trying to offend anybody or anything like that. This is all just about sharing perspective.
This is an open format. That's what the roundtable is for, to get everything out here and just be honest.
Right. And really just, you know, putting out positivity. Like,
right.
Here we are, like, trying to bring the people, you know, together. Yeah. But, yeah, where are we? You know, obviously, Breonna Taylor's, we want more justice there. That hasn't happened or transpired just yet. In general, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I, you know, on Breonna Taylor, we need to keep saying her name. I forgot to tweet it today. I need to do that. So I think that we have to keep the pedal to the metal with that. We have to apply pressure. Nothing has happened yet in a sense of what we want for her. But in the other scheme, the grand scheme of things, I think that we're in a good place. I think the reason we're in a good place is because people want to do better. And you have to understand, a lot of people didn't care to do better because they didn't even know that there was this problem. But now there's people that are aware, first there's a problem, so that's a win, because people weren't always doing that. And now people are like, yeah, this is pretty bad. We have to figure it out. So I think that that concept of people being aware and wanting to learn, I mean, I've had corporate friends reach out to me, all right, we need to make sure that we're inclusive. You know, that's like, wow, okay, great. You know, like, I found out that's about to be my whole profession now, helping people make sure they're inclusive, helping people start the conversation. And I'm like, first of all, what a dope job. But secondly, wow, people are actually wanting to do better. So I think that we're in a good place, because usually when people want to do better and know better, they will, you know, that's a choice. Right. So now people are making the choice.
100%. Right. Well, and usually it comes from people wanting to see leaders take action. A lot of young people, especially who've been at the protests, have said, you know, I want to see police reform. I want to see government officials do better and stand up for me, but I have to see it first before I can believe it. How do we make that happen?
Yeah, so that's the thing. I hope that the seeing it is people like me. I hope the seeing it is people like a Natasha Cloud, where, look, I don't see it. I have hope. I see the want to. So, you know, sometimes you have to have faith. I don't know. I'm a religious person. So I think you're hitting on, like, what do you do if you haven't seen it yet? You have to have a little faith. And having faith in humanity is going to be hard at times because of where we're at. But just look around. I mean, if you look at the protests, if you look at what it's compiled of, it's not just all Black people. You know, there's a lot of white people at the protests. There's a lot of different races. So if that's what you need to have that faith, look for it. You have to look places to find it. But there's a lot of changes happening. So if you want to see some changes, go search for them.
Mm-hmm. And be open to other people changing. Sometimes people might have done something, you know, wrong in the past because they didn't know better. I mean, how do you handle those sorts of situations? Because I'm learning more about this cancel culture, like people canceling each other. I still don't really get it. But, you know, like, how do you what?
Listen, I don't get that either, is what I'm saying. Like, what does that even mean? Cancel?
I don't get it.
A vetting process for who we cancel, okay? Sometimes people make mistakes, and if there's somebody who I'm talking about, like, I saw that people were trying to cancel Jemele Hill. Like, I think that's ridiculous. I understand that, you know, sometimes people might say things. I don't even know why they're trying to cancel her, so I shouldn't even put myself. But I just think that if somebody has done something their whole life and been something their whole entire life, maybe we shouldn't cancel them at the drop of a dime. Like, I think that our cancel culture has kind of just, we've went on a frenzy. If somebody says something, canceled. Like,
do you think we're too PC? Our culture's too PC?
It's like, I mean, I understand there needs to be a level of sensitivity. So I like certain things. Like, yeah, we calling you out. Like, yeah, no. Some people need to be canceled. And then some people we need to give the benefit of a doubt because of their body of work, i.e. their whole entire life. If they have done one outlier, I don't think we can cancel somebody. We can be like, you're on house arrest. You're on house arrest. Proceed with caution. They might be on probation. You know, we might be like, we're going to watch you. You're not canceled yet, but watch it. You know, we got to give somebody, there has to be a grace period.
Well, the whole purpose is to get people to understand, right? Understand your perspective, your vantage point, your point of view, because everybody has different backgrounds, like you mentioned, right? You got a whole life of growing up and being one way and being around a certain type of person, right? Not a lot of people have that diversity. We talked about it. Bridget and I, we spoke about growing up in California, how much diversity it is, you know, here, so many different races and stuff like that. It's not like always like that other places. And so, yeah, I agree with you 100%, you know, on that. Would you agree with that, Ashley?
I would. I mean, the whole thing about the cancel culture is just to completely stop the support that you give and how they're basically monetizing by demeaning other people of color. Like, a lot of my timeline, you know, I follow a lot of people from high school and people my age are big on YouTube, and they're big on, you know, a lot of the big YouTube stars like Shane Dawson and like people like Jeffree Star, who have built their entire platform by basically demeaning people of color, people of different races, people of different like sexual backgrounds. And that's how they're getting canceled. And it's just, you have to put your foot down when it becomes offensive. And it's sad that it's taken this long, because it's never really been funny. Mm-hmm. But it's sad that it's taken this long, but it's something that it needs to happen moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys feel like, and Quandre, I'll start with you on this, and you guys feel free to chime in. Do you guys feel like at a certain point, perhaps, you know, maybe we take this too far? And what I mean by that is, like, listen, there's been, you know, videos of flags being burnt and, you know, the BLM flags being put up. Is there a sense that, you know, you're looking at some of this stuff and it's like, you know, listen, we're trying to send a certain message. Perhaps that's just a step too far. Maybe that's too much.
As in us as the black culture?
Yeah. The black culture. I'm just meaning the movement itself, the protesting itself.
Well, I think, honestly, I think if we continue to keep the, and I've been saying this, you know, since everything's been happening, as long as we keep the conversation alive in a peaceful way, and, you know what I mean, we're not going out our way to, you know, do anything crazy and continue to, you know what I mean, you know, we have these stereotypes. So as long as we're doing it in the most peaceful way, we continue to let our voices be heard, I don't think we're doing too much. You know what I mean? I'm from the South, so. We definitely got to keep the conversation going here, because, you know what I mean, I've been around it my whole life. And, you know what I mean, I just think, I was talking to one of my friends today, and we had a professor at UT that we used to think he was a radical. You know what I mean? We were in college. We was just like, man, this dude is outrageous with some of the stuff he was saying. Mm-hmm. But now, you know what I mean, I've been in the league 6 years. Now, you know what I mean, 8 years later, you looking at it, you looking like, man, he was right. You know what I mean? He was trying to prep us for something that was happening in the future, and we wasn't ready for that.
He's and that's why my all-time favorite professor.
Right. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I commend these athletes now, like at Texas and Texas A&M, because they're taking the fight to a bigger level. That's something that we didn't do when we were in college.
Yeah.
Because honestly, for me, man, my thing was, I want to get 3 years and I want to get out. I wasn't trying to listen to
that. That was me too.
Was saying. You know what I mean?
That was me too. I'm gone.
Right. That's what it was. That was the dream. But now that you look back 8 years from now, you're like, man, Dr. Moore was right. You know what I mean? Like, this is everything that's been going on that he's prepping us for. So I wish we would have used our voice back then. So it's good now that these young guys and even us at our age and, you know what I mean, people older, that they're making their voices heard. And we continue to do it the right way. I mean, there's no problem with it. We're not hurting anybody. We're just trying to get out, get recognized, and get equality, what we've been fighting for years.
What about knowing that your voice though? Is so powerful, like, what would you have said back then?
I think for me, I just would have stood up more and kind of understood where he was coming from and not thinking that he had a radical thinking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I would think now that if I'd have knew what I knew 8 years from now, it would have been a lot more positivity and stuff on my Twitter and my social media. You know what I mean? At University of Texas, you have a big platform, so I could have used that platform mm-hmm. to do a lot of different things with just making my voice heard about the inequality. And, you know what I mean? At University of Texas, I know you guys have seen our school, our fight song, you know what I mean? It has racist tendencies, and we continue to sing that song. We were forced to sing that song in any sport. So I wish we would have took more initiative to that back in the day, but now it's good that these guys are bringing it out.
You know, we talk about...
Rob and I were having that conversation today about the racist tendencies in college sports. I mean, right. Go ahead, Rob, but...
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, back in the day, you know, saying this, and I also wanted to ask another question about, you know, some of us who aren't approaching it in such a peaceful way, you know? Like, does it get to a point where we're kind of wrong, in a sense? My second part to that question is, back in the day, right, were we as comfortable perhaps speaking out the way Colin did to start, the way we all are now, as we, you know, will we feel the same comfort doing that back in the day? Or is it like, I'm University of Texas, I'm at Utah State, I don't want to cause anything, any trouble, maybe I should just stay silent.
I think a lot of the time it's fueled by fear. When you're at the mercy of everybody and you don't know how strong your voice is, mm-hmm. you stay silent because you are fearful of the consequences. Like, I know that the IOC, even after saying, and the IOC is the International Olympic Committee, mm-hmm. they have projected that they stand with Black Lives Matter. However, if there's any protest during the Olympics, we would get
sanctioned.
That's
where I'm confused.
Like, 100%. What the hell does that even mean? So if you stand with this, you have to stand with everything that comes with it. You can't say that you support something, but you can't do that here. Starbucks did the same thing, and the backlash with Starbucks was ridiculous. Oh, we support Black Lives Matter, but our employees can't wear it in the stores. But here goes our own Black Lives Matter, like, t-shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't go back and forth with that. So I think a lot of the silence was fueled by fear. But I think the straw that broke the camel's back is just to see yet another innocent Black man, regardless of the things that he's done in the past, get murdered in cold blood on the street. And what enrages me is seeing on Twitter that people brings up, oh, well, he did this or he did that. But nothing that he's done in his life should have been
murder.
Right. Nothing that he's done in his life was him being deserving of taking his life, not only in cold blood, but in front of the world. And I mm-hmm. think that just, like, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That definitely agree.
When people don't feel like they're heard, they're going to make you feel them. So when you say, why are they doing that? Well, again, anybody that's well rehearsed in history, anybody that has read history, that knows history, a lot of times Black cultures have tried to go about things peacefully. They've held, you know, town halls in churches. They've walked peacefully. They've tried to do sit-ins. They've tried to do marches peacefully. If somebody's asking, do we think we're doing too much, that's because they don't know what we've done before. So you think we're doing too much? Yeah, we've tried that. You know, people, if you watch history, there's been a lot of peaceful things. People have peacefully stood as they got beat just to show they're being peaceful. So mm-hmm. if people are thinking, well, why can't you do it peacefully? First, people, you have to get somebody's attention, right? And if you're sitting there like, hey, can you hear me? Hey, you're probably going to tap the person. Like, that's just real life. Like, if you're at a store or something and you're like, excuse me, and they don't see, oh, excuse me, I need to get, hey, what are you going to do? Excuse me. I mean, I know it's COVID now, so we might not be able to tap them. You know, you might have to, like, I know.
Hello,
but,
you.
But it's a natural reaction when you don't feel like people are listening to you. So I'm not saying it's the best thing to do, but I'm saying history has shown that doing it peacefully may not get the attention that it warrants.
Right.
And my thing to go with that is, I read a lot. So like for me, I continue to see people try to say Cap has hijacked, you know, the national anthem and his message. And it's like, well, how about they just do it with a moment of silence after the national anthem? Well, no, let's not do that, because like Renee just said, we've tried for so long to be peacefully, and he's still doing it peacefully, but he feels like, well, the national anthem, that's the best way to get you guys' attention. So I'm going to get your attention by kneeling, which he got from a Green Beret that I played football with at Texas. So he got that idea from him. So if that Green Beret doesn't see it as, you know what I mean, he's doing something outrageous, then what makes you feel like somebody that didn't fight for this country, what makes you feel like you can go against his word? Because you didn't have anything to do with that.
And just to piggyback off of that, the national anthem, there's two different things. There's the flag, which represents freedom, and then there's the national anthem. There are non-inclusive verses in the national anthem. A lot of people don't read these things. A lot of people maybe don't know these things. But again, if you educate yourself, you will understand that the national anthem isn't a very inclusive anthem. So at the inception of it, you should understand that. That could be why he's kneeling. So if you even were just trying to be very basic and look at it as why is he doing that, well, maybe look at what he's kneeling during. I'm just throwing that out there because a lot of people just misconfuse the flag and the anthem. The flag does represent freedom. The anthem, I don't really know.
Yeah. Officer, when you're hearing all of this, where does your head go?
Yeah.
honestly, like Kaepernick taking a knee, it doesn't offend me. It doesn't – everyone's entitled to their own opinion, their own way of protesting, like you guys were saying, peaceful protesting. Whether or not that was being heard or not, that's a different story. But where I'm coming from, I have interaction with all types of people, and it's really I just try to treat them all with $1 million. Doesn't matter their income, their race, whatever. I'm treating them all with respect, and that's done really good for me. I've arrested people where they've thanked me after. Because I handled the situation properly, and they were thankful for how I handled it both ways. And I've thanked people for cooperating with me. But as far as protesting goes, where I'm at right now in the Midwest, we had a protest. I didn't go down there to protect the stores, but some of my officers, my good friends did. And the majority of people were out there peaceful protesting, and it's being heard. They're when they turn violent, just unfortunate things would happen from then on out. So my head, it's confused. I grew up in a place. I grew up with Rob in California. We were very diverse. So I didn't really know about racism till I got a lot older. So that's kind of where my head's at. I mean, I'm not offended. I don't get offended when people want peace or justice, peace. People protesting, it doesn't offend me personally.
Have you had to be down there? I think you answered this, but I just want to clarify. Have you had to be a part of some of the protests? Have you had to work some of those?
No, not specifically, but our department was helping out with it. So it opened up a lot. So I'm working 16 hour days to cover that. But when never actually went down to the downtown.
Yeah. When you see some of the things that have transpired, and, you know, Renee mentioned, you know, the world sees it, you know, they see this viral video that happens and it ends up being like someone dying, you know, and unfortunately, you know, at the hands of a cop, you know, and it, you know, is it one of those things where your stomach turns? Is it like, you know, you think to yourself like, man, this guy, you know, he made a mistake. Do you feel perhaps there should be, you know, some sort of justice, you know, for this person being that was harmed?
Yeah, 100%. Just because we have a badge, it doesn't make us above the law. We're not the judge or the jury, you know, we're out there to protect people. And, when you see videos like that, it's painful because that tarnishes the badge and it makes my life harder. It makes good police officers' lives that much harder to do. 100%. It definitely, you know, it hurts not only the world, but I think it hurts me specifically and my profession to make it a little bit harder for our job moving forward.
Hey, I have a question for Mr. Officer. I got
go, bring it on. I love this.
Go ahead.
Would you like to go first, Renee? Or?
Because I want to, oh, what'd you say? Sorry, I didn't hear.
Rock, paper, scissors.
No, go ahead, Renee.
Oh, okay. So I was just going to ask because you do seem like a good guy and like you get it. So have you ever seen somebody that wasn't doing good cop things? Because I think that's the thing. Understand there's good cops out there, but why aren't the good cops stopping the bad cops?
And listen, you know, officer, if there's anything, like if there's, you know, if you get uncomfortable with any of it, don't worry about it. Just say, you know, hey, I can't.
Let's have a safe word. Like,
that's what I was going to say. But, I'm really asking out of like.
But that's a great question. That is a great question because I'm sure.
Totally.
I'm sure you've seen like, you know, one of your guys, one of your fellow officers, not, you know, do the job the right way.
So my department, we have about 500 officers. We're a pretty big department. So with that, you're going to get a lot of different people, right, coming through, all different ages, 21.
Different backgrounds.
Different backgrounds. Military.
Yeah, young guys. That's a great point.
And then guys that have, there's some guys that are still police officers closer to their 60s. So they've experienced a whole life, a different lifetime from us. So you definitely have that challenge where there's different types of people in police officer or in policing, right? There's this code with police officers. They have, you know, the thin blue line. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but. I truly believe the majority of people are good people, and when we see injustice, even in policing, we call it out, whatever aspect that has to be in, whether it's a little thing that we just call it out individually, or if we take it to our supervisor and say, "Hey, this is what happened on scene. Can you look into this further?"
You are young though on the force. You've only been an officer for what, five years? Nervous calling out a more senior officer, somebody that has power to demote you, fire you?
Great question.
I think now I've established myself and where I'm at in my career. So no, but probably honestly, 3 years ago, probably when I not so much powerless, but more of, oh, is that how it happens here? Is that how it works or whatnot? And kind of follow older people. And that's kind of why, you know, I'm stepping up to be more, I just became a training officer because I want to train the younger guys that are just coming in the correct way how to do policing. My dad was a police officer for over 30 years. So I learned from him and all his buddies. And now I want to transfer knowledge I learned from them, knowledge I've learned on the job, onto the younger generation too, coming after me.
Yeah, well, guys, I don't want to make things too personal, but you also sent some very amazing, powerful messages to Rob.
Yeah,
learned of that. Rob, do you want to share?
Right. Yeah, no, I was going to say, you know, listen, you know, our officer really cares about making a difference. And I hope you don't mind me, you know, sharing this message. I just thought it was really powerful. But he let me know. He said, "Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know I was selected to be a training officer like you just mentioned." He says, "I truly believe I can make an impact on all new police officers. Can you pray that I can teach the right way to police? Pray for wisdom and guidance for me and them. Keep doing work, bro." I thought that was great. Just approaching what you do with not just about doing it the right way, but with love and passion.
Question. That's why I asked him, because I could just tell how you talk, your tone. You can almost feel somebody's demeanor. So I can feel that you are on the right side of things. So that's why I want to first commend you, because I know it's probably not easy right now. But also that I genuinely think that conversations matter. And so that's why I want to ask those questions, because people need to hear that.
Like, people aren't asking them. It's all sound bites and PR.
Yeah,
100%.
So I have about anywhere, depending on the shift, if it's a midnight shift or a day shift, 10 to 15 contacts with, just to say, whether that's going into the grocery or gas station and buying a drink and talking to people, or stopping somebody, or getting a call for service. So that's a pretty low call load. But if you think of a place like New York, Seattle, San Francisco, their call load they're making 50 plus contacts a day of interactions. So when you ask the question of, when you see something bad, do you step up? Yes, I think that does happen. But I think 99% of our contacts are positive or good. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ashley, did you have a question that you wanted to ask him?
She did.
I did. So you spoke on, Mr. Officer, you spoke on how you would react to a protest getting violent. But almost all of the violence that I've seen from these peaceful protests have come from police officers. Can you speak on that?
No, I can't really. I wasn't there. I never went down there. I just talked to some of my officers that were down there. But I think Bridget said, you know, we're just seeing clips and everything. Where we were at, there was people that aren't even from around this area, the metro, that were ended up getting arrested, and they were bussed in to come to like destroy everything here. So that's really all I can speak of about that. Cause I wasn't there personally, so I don't know.
Renee, you've been on the front lines a lot. What have you seen when Ashley brings that up?
No, so I've seen like a lot of beautiful things out there. I'm not going to lie. Like that's what kept bringing me back.
Yeah.
And I say that is because a lot of times,
including you guys, what she's doing is unbelievable. So go ahead.
It's phenomenal.
But a lot of times, you know, we use the term, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? It takes a village. You know, these are terms that are typically used, you know, in the Black community a lot, you know? And so just seeing when I go out to the protest, it has been peaceful. Every time I've went, it's been peaceful. But I see a lot of people having a village. Like, it felt like a village. I felt connected. I didn't know. A lot of times when I went there, I didn't know anyone. But I met a lot of people. Like, it was almost like they didn't care. They were just like, hey, what's up? You good? Yeah. And I'm handing out waters, and they're like, oh, no, we don't need them. But there's an older group over there. You know, like, people were looking out for each other. So, for me, that's why I said, okay, these people are out here. They're really trying to create change. Like, this is a beautiful thing. So, that's why I said, if people don't see what's happening, it's beautiful out there. Mm-hmm. And to Ashley's point, I do think that there's a lot of cohesiveness. You know, like, I think that these protests, it's been great to see because – us as Black people, we always, you know, they say we have the crab in a barrel effect, but just to see a lot of Black people come together, we're getting behind it. It don't matter if you know them or not. It's just like everybody is one unit at this point. And it's not even just the Black people now. You know, it's like we're almost becoming a humanity. Like, so I don't know how to explain it, but for me, I feel humanity happening. And we all know we could feel it. Like every time I go overseas, it's a completely different lifestyle. Everybody sits down to eat different things. They take their time. They enjoy life.
Yeah. America,
we're like, go, go, go. How fast? And the news cycle is a half a day. But now you see a different America.
Ashley, I know you can't compete in Europe right now, but what's your experience been like over there? I know, sorry to bring it up, but I know that it's so positive. You're nodding and feeling that.
Yeah. The thing about being in Europe, it everything is slowed down. Everything is all about enjoying something as intimate as a meal with the people that you care about. Just
no matter their race.
No matter the race, just life. There's only a select few places that I've experienced it, not necessarily prejudice, but more curiosity. Like I was explaining to an interview I did a few weeks ago where in Budapest, they don't see a lot of people of color. And if you are a person of color in Budapest, like you are there for military or you're there for vacation. So it's especially in the small village where we go to compete, it's more curiosity. Like, you know, your skin's dark. Where are you coming from? You speak English? That's crazy. But I do agree with Renee. Like everything there is slowed down and it's more about just being a human living on planet Earth, more so this versus that or this person and that person. And it, being here and witnessing the togetherness, it's a beautiful thing.
Guys, something came across the feed. One of our listeners commented here. I think it's Perry is cold. And the question is, it's actually a few questions. Do you guys agree that there is a discord in how this movement is being pushed? How do we get everyone in on the movement without making some groups feel like they're at fault? Go more into depth about this. It's difficult for someone to support a cause if they feel like fingers may be pointed at them. Is it really even possible to bring everyone together, because there will always be hate in every group or ideological side?
I mean, I feel like, Renee, you've got this in the bag because you said you've been seeing beautiful things out there. So elaborate.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you, Perry. It's cool. Appreciate you. I appreciate all of our people. Sorry, Renee. Just want to say thank you to all of the people who are listening, watching, commenting.
You guys are awesome.
Like, whatever you have to say, good, bad, or indifferent, this is all about, love.
Yeah, yes. Love. And please go donate to the Equal Justice Initiative. That's what we're here for. Take the floor.
No, I was just going to say, I think questions matter, conversations matter. And conversations is what I want to have. I want people to speak freely. I want people to speak what they really think, because then when you know what they really think, you can address it. So he's asking, he's saying, like, is it even possible that we all get on the same page? That question, while it may sound like shocking to some people, that's a real concern for some people. 100%. You have different, people are in different states of grief. You know, so when you're in different stages of grief, some people might be in the blame phase, because that's a part. Some people might be in the we want revenge phase. That's a part. Some people might be in the healing phase and they want to close all loose ends. So people are going to grieve differently, but you have to be open to accepting it. You know, I think Bridget hit on it earlier, where if people want to change, you have to allow them the space to do it. So if Percy is cold, shouts to Percy is cold, but if he's asking that question, it's because he really doesn't see it. And if he's asking that question about people pointing fingers, it's because somebody probably did. So I would say, that's not going to be my method. My method is we gotta change people's mindsets. You know, we all have a view because of how you were raised and how your environment makes you who you are. But it doesn't mean that you can't expand your views. So I think the main thing, Percy, is that if people can expand their views and change their views, I do think that we can all get on the same page. And I think the movement is on the same page. It's just, if people think that it's not, it's because they don't know what the movement is trying to get.
Right. You know, Quandre, when you hear that, where's your head at when you're thinking about, I'm a young dad, I've got to tell my daughter things to prepare for in life? Do you think it will be better down the line, years down the line, or are you more worried like this guy is, Perry?
I think it's just kind of what Renee said earlier. It's faith. You got to have faith in things that you can't see right now.
And
it's our job to make this world better. It's our job to continue pushing and striving to make that message continue to flow, and for people to understand our message and know that all we want is equality. You know, all we want is fairness in the world. And hopefully by the time my daughter is growing up, you know what I mean? She's 11 months. So hopefully she's growing up in a world that her dad was able to make better. You know what I mean? That people like us on this round table that's making better. Right. So, that's my main goal. You know what I mean? I just want to make it better. I have nephews, 14, 12, and 11, and they've been living with me for the last 2 months. And it's been tough having those conversations with them, because they're kids. But at the same time, you got to let them know that they're young black men, and that sometimes, and you know, I mean, sometimes they're going to get looked at different, no matter if they're mixed with any type of race. You know, if they're mixed with white, they're mixed with black, they're going to be looked at as young black men in this world. And same with my daughter, she's mixed, interracial, you know what I mean? So she's going to be looked at as a black girl in this world. So she's going to have to understand that some things that she can do that her friends are going to be able to get away with, that she won't be able to do. And that's my goal, is to help change that. You know what I mean? I want everybody to be equal. I want us all to live freely, because, you know what I mean, that's the way I was raised. I was raised that be fair and equal to everybody, because at the end of the day, we all people, we all under one sun. And, you know what I mean, it's our job just to get along and just enjoy this earth the best way possible.
You know, another one of our streamers, I don't go to the streamers too often, but I mean, we have
a lot of traction. Hey, you're pulling up good questions.
No, there's a lot of traction going on in our comments. FM addict, FM underscore addict. She's like, what the hell am I watching? I don't know if it's a male or female, But, you know, basically what they're saying is, you know, we're talking about peaceful protest. And what they're saying is, how can it be peaceful when there's buildings being burned? And
when there's the looting or the shootings that happened at the Breonna Taylor protest.
And stuff like that. And which I feel is a fair point. You know, it's a fair point. Everybody's going to have their opinion, right? People are going to see things differently. Renee, you touched on that. But, you know, Ashley, to answer that question, you know, how do you feel about that? How would you answer that to that person, to FM Addict?
The crazy thing is I'm looking at these comments, and these comments, some of them are crazy. You know what I mean? Some of them
well,
are
yeah.
crazy.
Oh yeah.
And, but I think it's okay because I want people to speak.
What are they freely. Saying? Get on the chat. Right.
Yeah, freely. Renee, get on there.
The chat is crazy, but it's nothing that I'm you know what I mean? Us being professionals, we see this kind of talk all the time.
Like a troll is a troll.
A troll is a troll.
I always say, once you're being hated on, that's when you've made it.
Right. Oh my God.
And my thing is just to the negative comments, you know what I mean? Like, if, you know what I mean? If you're not with the message that we're spreading, if you're not, you know what I mean, with us and understand where we're coming from, then, you know what I mean, you're part of the problem. It's simple
you're
as it
part
is.
Of the problem. Yeah. You have the freedom to not be on here. So,
but also, I hope you're on here so you could learn something.
Right, learn
right.
something.
With casual, but yeah, you candid.
And I mean, say, I like when people almost ask sassy questions, and that's what I'm
yeah.
talking about. Yeah. Sassy questions yeah. that they're asking, I bet you there's like 1,000 other people that want to know that exact answer. So
1,000%.
Yes, that are thinking the same thing.
1,000%. Yeah.
There was a comment underneath one of the posts that I had this week. They had canceled one of the only Diamond Leagues here in the United States. And it was really sad. And one of the comments said, so we can protest in the streets. 10,000 people can protest in the streets, but we can't have a track meet. And it enraged me because a track meet, being a part of a track meet, being in the stands of a track meet is a privilege. Having to protest and fight for just basic human rights as a Black woman is not a privilege. That's something that I have to do. I'm a Black woman that's going to someday marry a Black man, and we're going to have Black kids. And I don't want to live in a world where I have to sit down and explain to my Black son that you have to be on the up and up because you could be gunned down in the street. You can't have Skittles or wear a hoodie or walk down the street in a nice neighborhood or jog or breathe or be sleeping in your own home. I don't want to have those questions. And for you to take something as a privilege as a track meet and put it in the same entity as a protest when we're trying to get basic human rights is just shows me how people have separated the issue from what's actually happening. And it's sad. And some people are so dead set on their own beliefs that they're not even willing to educate themselves on what's going on. But you can't force somebody to change. They either have to want to or they won't. So, I mean, right. it's...
And you know what? I think it's sometimes it's not even about necessarily change, you know, like mm-hmm. as it pertains to an individual person, but perhaps understand. Just put yourself in my, I'm a huge believer in any situation, any sort of disagreement, especially argument with your girl or your boyfriend or whatever, a situation with a coach and a player, a decision that is made by a GM who decides to release you or trade you, or put yourself in that person's shoes just for a couple minutes and see if you can understand where they're coming from. Doesn't mean you have to necessarily change who you are, but if you have an understanding of, you know, that person's vantage point, you know, yeah. then you can sort of alter what your initial belief is. It doesn't right. change who you are. Your initial belief might be like, you know what? This organization, I can't stand them. They traded me. They did me dirty. But then you put yourself in the decision maker's shoes. You say, you know what? I get it. You know what? I am a huge hit against the salary cap. You know, I understand that, you know, perhaps whatever the case may be, right? The reasons behind it. Now, obviously, there's always going to be like messed up situations in all relationships, right, and everything like that. But a lot of times, if you just change your shoes for a second, look at it from another vantage point, it'll help you have a better understanding. If you have a better understanding, I believe, then, you know, you can alter your beliefs a little bit.
And I think that ties back to how people don't know how to support the cause without feeling like they've taken on the blame. And that's just, we're not blaming you per se. That's just how the system was set up. The system was not set up for people of color to be successful. And that's what we're trying to change.
And I was going to pick 100%. Ashley said, because, you know, to put it in perspective, a lot of people, you know, they, like, I saw comments where people were like, is COVID canceled? Or, you know, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
People,
yeah.
Understand, I'm one of those people. So I'm like, a lot of people consider me a germaphobe. I was wearing masks on the airplanes before COVID. Like, you know, like,
before it was cool.
Before it was
cool. Oh, wow. I'd have been looking at you like, what's
my coach hit me up and was like, hey, how's my favorite germaphobe doing during the quarantine? I only say that to say, when I went out to the protest, that was when I broke my quarantine. It was that important. So people say that for a germaphobe like me to be out there, this is a life or death situation. Mm-hmm. So when Ashley's saying that you're comparing it to a privilege, she's saying that a lot of people feel like by them marching out there and protesting, they are going to change their next generation's lives. They are going to not, we're not, we don't want to have as many hashtags next generation. That's right. What we're saying.
Next year.
We don't. So
next week.
So when we're out there, I threw a Juneteenth block party. That was a celebration. But that, I would throw on that so that people can understand that this is a holiday and it should be celebrated. However, right, people are out there protesting. That's not a vacation. You know, like, it's not right. Like,
yeah,
this is lit. Yes, we might have fun while doing it because we know we need to be out there. But don't get it twisted. We wish we didn't have to be out there.
Exactly. Right. No, that makes sense. And you're risking it for the right reasons. You touch on Juneteenth. To me, so many people didn't even know that Juneteenth existed before this year, because a lot of people didn't talk about it, whether it was different states, different, you know, social circles. Rob and I had this conversation over and over again.
I mean, it took me a long time to realize the, you know, what Juneteenth actually was and what it meant to our culture.
Right. And this weekend, 4th of July is coming up, Independence Day. All of these statues are coming down, you know, flags are burning. When you think about where our society is at right now, what do you think is going to happen? What is it, Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah. I personally think, you know, people will be...
Rob thinks it's going to be a fireworks show. Yeah.
Yo, you be barbecuing at the house, right, watching the fireworks. That's what I think.
Listen, my condo says you have to put your time slots in for the grill. So I think that Rob might be onto something.
I'm telling you, like, I don't suspect really any sort of like.
Well, here's my thing. People all of a sudden become patriotic on those kinds of days, like 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, all these people that usually don't care about the country and then all of a sudden are like dressed in the American flag. That probably bothers Ashley. I don't know, because she wears it. And all of a sudden these people are like flaunting it around. So it's more prevalent than ever. I mean, for people who don't want to see the flag as a symbol of, you know, success in this country right now, what happens to the flag?
Yeah.
Ashley?
As an Olympian, when we, as a track athlete in general, when we win or when we get third and higher to make the podium, they give us a flag to wave it behind us.
That's proudly. Your superhero cape.
That's our cape. And it's a lot of, we're not protesting the flag and what it we're protesting the racism that is attached to it, if that makes sense. And I'm a proud American. I am. I, you know, celebrate this country. I represent this country. I represent you. I represent everybody. And as a U.S. Olympian, that is one of the fastest women in the world. Having that flag is a proud moment. the flag needs to change what it's about. The flag needs to be freedom for all. And right now, as a Black woman living in America, it's freedom for most. It needs to be freedom for everyone.
There's a
well said.
There's a comment here by I am Cheery Cherry, who's been really active in our chat today.
Thanks shout out to hanging out, Cheery Cherry.
Yep, thanks for joining our show. African ethnicity in parentheses, American nationality in parentheses. How does it make you feel? How do you feel about that? Accurate?
African.
I think they're asking what's an ethnicity versus a nationality.
What's that?
Is she asking or is she telling us?
She's saying.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's what they're saying. No,
I'm not looking at these. So,
African is an ethnicity. American is your nationality.
Thank you.
Accurate? That's pretty accurate, right? I don't know.
I mean, somebody else can have that. I don't really.
Ashley's making some pretty priceless facial expressions right now, so I want to know what they mean.
No, it is. She's saying, look, I am of African descent. Dumbass. She's talking to somebody. There's somebody fighting. They fight.
Oh, okay.
I always go back afterwards and check out the chat battles. They're so great.
Oh, man.
I was saying,
hey,
you gotta get to
listen, I wanna wrap back around to our officer. You mentioned becoming a training officer. And I read about how much it means to you. What are some of the differences you're looking to make with these new officers coming in and being a part of the department?
Well, honestly, a lot of our new guys that are coming in, they're younger, they're 21, 22, just getting out of college. And let me just say, we're not in it for the money. But so I truly believe they're wanting to make a change in this world. So they're coming into this profession to make a change, whether that change is to help them have a good career or make a change in the world, save someone's life someday, who knows what it is. But becoming a training officer to me means that I get to put my foothold on them. So when they do have a good career, I can say, you know what, I help steer that person in the right direction. Not to say someone else can't do that, or another person would steer them in the wrong direction. I just want to be a part of this change to help guide people in the right direction. And just to tie it back to the protest a little, I had family that was protesting, and they were downtown protesting. And I have a young Black man, he's 15 years old, living in my house. And like Diggs, you were saying, like he's in our house, and you have to have these conversations with them. As hard as they can be, you need to have these conversations with them. And he's mixed too. He's half white, half Black. And so he brings up, but he's looked at, he tells me he's not looked at as half white. He's looked at as Black. And he tells me stories that have happened to him in his past, stories that his friends have told him. Some of his friends, you know, they know he lives with the police. So they're like, hey, yeah, I don't know if I want to come over there. And he's like, no, like, not all police are bad. Like, Trevor's cool, and all these things. And so it's cool to watch his questions and him just to have a foothold on him. And I truly believe he's going to be an amazing man in his life. And I want him to succeed.
Any of his questions stump you, you know?
Yeah.
You got to call a friend. You got to phone in somebody, like.
Yeah, he's on Instagram, Snapchat, you name it, he's on it. So he gets a lot of, you know, a lot of media coverage, and he'll be like, yo, did you see this? Like, what's up with this? And I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I just woke up. I've been, you know, I've barely slept for 3 hours. Hold on, let me catch my breath here. and I say, hey, you know, that's a really interesting point. And he brought up the point of, well, we've tried protesting silently before, peacefully. Now we have to do more. So we talked about what that meant to him and what is doing more. And so it's definitely a challenge, and he stumped me a lot. And but like you said, Renee, it's good to keep these conversations going. And you just really have to check your own heart, be humble and be open to what other people's views, opinions are. And if you aren't, if you're going to just brush those away, then that's on you. You got to be open and just have love for other people and this, our country as a whole, I think, and our nation and our world.
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned having some confusion, you know, you're a bit confused, you know, what specifically had you confused and, you know, do you feel the same now? Does a lot of what didn't make sense, I guess, maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, make a little bit more sense to you now?
Really when it first, the confusion first started happening to me, was in 2014 when I became a police officer. And that's when Ferguson happened.
Oh, wow.
And so literally, I think within a couple weeks of me being hired, all the incidents that happened in Ferguson, so that was really a wake up call for me, into police. And I was like, I'm a police officer. I'm here to protect. Why are you telling me you hate me? You don't like me. And all these different things. And it wasn't so much hard for me. I grew up playing sports. So rejection, you know, I it happens, coaches don't call you, whatever. So that was fine with me. But it was just confusing because I grew up in California where we were very diverse. And all aspects, our sports teams were diverse, our schools were diverse. So it wasn't really till I got into a career after college where I was seeing it on a global spectrum.
Right.
So that's why I was more confused. I was maybe just so not maybe focused more in my own bubble of what's going on around me. And, you know, I'm not racist. My friends aren't racist. So there's no real racism here. But then when I, you know, matured a little and opened my eyes to the whole world, you can definitely see that there is racism there. And there are people that really just need to like find Jesus and have love in their heart.
I have a question.
That's true.
So yes. what specifically do you think that police officers who, how do I want this? What do you think that should be different? Like, what would you, if you had to reform the entire police force in every spectrum, all 50 states, what specifically would you do differently?
I would make sure that community policing is very effective. And we used to have a direct unit. That's all they did. They go out, they go to the parks. But with budgets getting cut and cut and cut, that's not an option anymore. We're a 24/7 operation and we have to have enough officers for the citizens of our areas. And when we're running below minimum staff and we're having people work overtime like crazy, it's really hard to do that. To have special units to go do things like that. So that's just the facts. It's just the number. It's a numbers game. We're running at, I think, 10 below what we're slotted for right now. In my unit, out of the 35 in my unit, we're running 10 under. So that's really hard on all of us around.
That but is.
Really we can tough. Still make a difference in how we get calls for service. So we get someone calls 911 for whatever reason. But when we're not getting those calls, get out of your car, go talk to the people that own shops, local shops. They know what's going on in their area. The people, the gas station attendants, they know, you know, who the bad guys are that are coming in the store, you know, trying to steal something. They know what's going on. Get out and play with the kids at the park. Go play hoops with them for a few minutes. We have that. We have some time to go do that. So that's what I would really suggest for a young officer and even old officers too that have been on the force for a while who maybe stay in their cars and they just want to go arrest people and take them to jail. I don't believe that's what policing is about. It's, I mean, they give us lights and all these fancy equipment. We get to drive really fast and all that stuff, and that's fun. but at the end of the day, we got in this job to help.
Why y'all get to drive fast and we don't?
Yeah,
right.
That's what I want to know.
Real.
You know, got a fast car.
Why am I getting tickets? Why am I getting tickets, right. bro? You not.
I got horsepower. I want to use them.
No, but you know what? That is, though, bro. I can only imagine. Like, think about it. Like, we're all athletes on here. Even, you know, even Bridget. And it's like, think about, like, times where, like, maybe you had to take all the reps of practice one day. I mean, I know track is like more individual, but you know, coach just puts that overtime on you, that extra, right? It's like, man, like
one
I'm
if you're the one who's late or something. That.
And you know, then now you have to do even more. It's taxing, like on your body, and you only can have like a natural response to that. And sometimes it can be like irritable, you know, when you're put in the overtime like that. And so I can definitely understand the difficulties of you know, having that situation in the police force where it's just like, man, you know, you're down 10 officers. You gotta pick up the slack in other places. So, you know, no, I really, really appreciate you, you know, answering that question.
Let's talk about police reform, because I'm so curious what you guys think. Defunding, destroying, reforming are all such different words that people have used to describe what they think the police force should look like, you know, tomorrow, next year, in the next few years.
Personally, I don't think we should get rid of the police. Like, police ourselves, really? Like, come on, like, let's...
I mean, yeah, I'm like, I'm not here to totally give my personal opinions, but I mean, again, like, who do I call when somebody's breaking into my house, you know? Right. Ghostbusters. Like, it's just one of those things where I see the city of Minneapolis completely, you know, getting rid of the police force. What are we gonna have? A citizen's arrest?
Not gonna happen.
Night watch? You know, what are you guys thinking on that?
I think that, first of all, if you have to get rid of large amount of police in Minnesota, it's probably necessary. There might have been a large amount of police that weren't doing correct.
You're 100% correct on that, because I think a majority of the police force already had a ton of complaints.
So this is things that are foul that have been, this is facts. So if we're getting rid of those, I agree. We need to get rid of the bad cops. I also agree that there's body cams for a reason. So if I know that in Atlanta, so I read things, and I'm a reader, and there's town halls. I looked at our mayor's budget, you know, and I'm like, wow, the police fund went up here in Atlanta. So I had to figure out, why did it go up? And I'm, because, you know, you see all this defund the police, and I'm like, why in the world would our police fund in Atlanta, of all places, be going up? So I did some research about that. The reason Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms wants it to go up is because she wants to have body cams on every cop. That costs a lot of money. And then she also wants to have boards that review the footage, places for the footage to go. So when she talks about needing more money, it's actually to police better, in a sense of now there's accountability, there's transparency. Why is your cam off? We have enough camera equipment. We have enough this. Why is it off now? So I think it's not necessarily about getting rid of the police. We do need to get rid of the bad seeds. And how do we know the bad seeds? There's been complaints. If you see a certain line of complaints, a long string of them, maybe it is time to get rid of those type of cops. And implement things like the body cam transparency, a review board that actually has a say-so in what happens. So a review board can't say, yeah, this looks like a murder, and then it just gets overruled. So there needs to be a checks and balance systems. We don't necessarily have to get rid of the cops, but we have to clean it up, like, clearly, or we have to have accountability. I think that's the word that people just aren't feeling heard about. It's the accountability. Mm-hmm. Hello, Breonna Taylor.
Right.
Yeah.
Like right now, the only consequence of killing a woman of color or a man of color is you get paid leave. You get fired. Like, you took a life. And I think that if you commit something like murder, you need to be held responsible just like anybody else. And I commend you. I commend Mr. Officer that says, like, cops aren't above the law. But that's just not what we're seeing right now.
And I have to hop off of here, you guys, but, like, I love it, Rob. I'm all about conversations. I'm so happy y'all even had it. It's Trevor, right? I know we've been calling you Mr. Officer, but, like, Trevor, I think that that's important, though, because people need to actually see cops that are have the right mindset, that are actually thinking right, because they're a real thing. They're not a myth. So they're really real things that are out here. Trevor's sitting right here. So, like, I love what you guys did. Trevor, I love that you're going to train, because I think everything is educational. So I think this racism is learned. So if we know that racism is learned, then let's just unlearn it. I appreciate Trevor. I appreciate Rob, Bridget, you guys. you know, already the homies now, Quadre and Ashley are the homies now, but I'm not even, thank you guys for having the conversation.
You're going to miss the trivia question, but.
Oh, what is it, a sassy one?
It's kind of good. I'll get to it. Let me get to it before you go, because I don't want you to miss this. All right, look.
Is the answer next Friday?
You know what?
Bye. That's just gonna be my hang automatic up, response
hang up
now.
On her. Hang up on her.
That was
real. Okay, look, Men in Black, right?
Men in Black.
Okay, the actors in that, right? Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith, Steven Spielberg, I think, was the person who made the film. Correct me if I'm wrong. Before Will Smith got the part, it was offered to someone else first, okay? Famous for being in a 90s TV sitcom, all right? Who is the actor?
Martin Lawrence.
Good guess, wrong answer.
Shit.
They were the star in a 90s sitcom, or were they just in it?
They were one of the stars. One of the stars. I'll give you a hint. Like, it's one of those 90s sitcoms where it's a group. It's a group of stars.
Living Single. Who was on Living Single? It got to be somebody from there.
Living Single. That's wrong.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. Great answer. Incorrect.
Shit.
Okay.
I'll give you guys one more. Anybody from our chat know the answer to this?
No.
Boy, I say Family Matters.
That's a great, great, great.
Can you give us the show? Game. Oh, that would give Friends. It away, wouldn't it?
Friends.
Friends?
That's what I said. I said. I was like, what?
I've never even seen an episode of Friends, so I don't even
right. Thank you.
What? Thank you.
Not one episode.
Well, listen, I don't know the actor's name, but it's the dude who played Ross.
David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer. He was the guy. He's the one that got
No,
off
sir.
Look it up.
I did not know the name.
I knew the character's name. The character name, that works.
If Rob wouldn't have said a 90s sitcom, my guess would have been Ice Cube. I kid you not.
Oh,
wow.
I was thinking, you don't want to know what I was thinking. I was thinking about saying it, and then I was just like, this could go south.
Hey, you know what?
I'm
yeah. out. You know what? Yeah, we can no finish way. With this.
Okay, you guys, I'm just going to let you know it's going to flip everyone here. So I'm going to put you on a one shot if Renee is leaving, and then.
Renee, take care. Thank you so much. Be blessed.
How that works too with these portals. So
keep balling. We're getting ready to close anyway.
What does that tell? How long? It's like church. Like, I need to put the finger up. I gotta go for real because I have something at 9:30. I'm sorry. Thank you guys.
It's okay. All good.
Look, it's
no
like
worries.
Church. You know how church be like? I'm getting ready to
pass the collection.
Right. Sorry, yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Like, I'm getting
sorry,
ready
everyone.
To,
I gotta move the shots. Just give me a sec.
All right. Yeah, and church like, man, we're getting ready to close. It'd be like 45 minutes later.
Benediction, right. God, if anybody feel the word, come on down. They doing baptismal. There's dinner in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, church is church.
I had to get that. I heard that one on the radio this morning.
You can't ask a question when you don't know the full answer.
Thank you.
I do know the full answer. Ross,
the guy that played Ross,
the character. That's good enough.
Even Mr. Police Officer laughing at you.
Man, whatever, man. Whatever, man.
That, right?
I was expecting him to know the answer to this.
I was thinking that Boy Meets World or something character.
Oh, my people. Gosh. Stop
that's closer
it.
Than what everybody else did.
That's a good show.
For real.
That is such
Boy Meets
a good
World
show.
Was my shit, too.
Boy Meets World was a good
I
show.
I love that was Boy my, Meets World.
We just got Disney Plus. Man, that thing is awesome.
Yeah. I heard it is. I need
it brings
to get
back some memories.
Well, for all of those who are wondering why we're saying officer, Mr. Police Officer, we're trying to keep his name undisclosed Dumbness. For the sake of, you know, the
safety.
Department and his safety. Own, you know, personal safety, just to, you know, kind of keep his identity private as much as possible. His name has been said a couple times already, so it's like, you know, hey, but we'll stay status quo on what we originally agreed to do as it pertains to that.
Just bleep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, that's a task for
Nick,
Miss Bridget, or Nick, our producer.
I can do it. I just
me on the other hand,
I can do anything.
Not tech savvy at all,
or answer savvy.
wow, we got jokes now. Look at this. Good one. Everybody want to get on me now. Wow.
I'm going to save your name and my number as the guy that played Ross.
Oh, my that's gosh. What it is.
Guy that played Ross.
But Solid. Honestly, I couldn't see him in that role, though. You know?
No, absolutely not.
Because Will Smith already played it, but it's like, I could see it.
No way. And I'm a huge Friends fan, so for me to say that, you know, like,
Friends.
I mean it.
Right, I feel you. Okay.
So.
We good?
Yeah.
We good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, I just wanted to touch up on a couple more things before we head out. One pertaining to sports, and it kind of has to tie in with the Civil War. You know, the Oregon State rivalry, I believe, right?
Yes. So, obviously, you know, every school has a big rivalry. Oregon and Oregon State have had a long-standing rivalry for about 100 years. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, because of the turmoil going on in our country and everything that's come out, people are more aware of the title. Rob, we had this conversation earlier. What do you think about that? They're removing the title Civil War.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal to call it the Civil War. I mean, you're talking about a football game. It's kind of, you know, it's like, and I understand, like, you know, historically what it may, you know, symbolize and stuff like that. But, and perhaps if they call it that, it comes from that, you know, perhaps. I think it's just a cool ass name to have to represent a football game. It's literally civil.
Well, and it's like, sad, it's for like, me. It's kind of sad, like, for me because Oregon, I have those memories. You know what I mean? So like, I'm sad now because, you know. But it's not about me.
She's an Oregon Duck for anybody who's wondering. You know, in the chat. Yeah.
She's like, yeah,
oh wow.
You're here with it.
Yeah. No, I just think now, I think, you know what I mean, I understand, and we don't know the history. I'm, of course, never went to Oregon, never went to Oregon State, so I don't know the history of their rivalry, any of that. You know, you just see it on TV. But, you know what I mean, I think just with the way things are going now, I feel like a lot of stuff is going to get changed, no matter if we see, you know, even if we say we don't see the problem behind it or anything. I think it's just the way that things are going now, and that all any memories of, like, you know, any history of, you know, like you say, the Civil War, that was slavery. It was things like that. So, you know, I mean, I think everybody's going to have a problem with it. And I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people would have a problem with it just because of the fact of what the name is and what it signifies. And so that's my thing. I don't really see anything wrong with it. You know, I could say the same thing about the Texas versus OU game. It's the Red River Rivalry, but it's played in the Cotton Bowl. Like, me, I don't see a big deal about you know, the name of the stadium, but I see some people bringing that up. It's just kind of one of those things that I don't see the significance behind it to make it that big of a deal, you know what I mean? But, just the age and times we in now with everything going on, I could definitely see why people have a problem with it, but I'm not one of those people.
Well, and I'll tell you personally, for me, it's just a bummer because it's like the first Civil War I ever cheered in. We, you know, won that Civil War, and then that was the game that took us to the national championship against Auburn. So it's like, you know, I have that such a positive memory of that. But again, like, I didn't even think about those words in that context. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
But a lot of players are coming out. Thomas Steiner said, dumbest thing I've ever heard. I think it's nothing but stupid.
Yeah. Everybody's going to have their own opinion about it. Speaking of opinions, you know, there's been some BLM flags being made, Black Lives Matter. The NBA is going to be having that. The 49ers reportedly are going to be putting one in the stadium.
They already put it up. It's already flying up.
This kind of goes back to my question before about, like, you know, is that you think that's too much? It's like, does the BLM movement per se, I guess, need a flag? I mean, like, and is it temporary? You know, is it something that's like, or is it going to be like a life, you know, a lifelong thing that we have? Like,
I think it's just one of those things where it just shows pride. Like, does anything really need a flag, so to speak?
Kind of like the LGBT movement, like the rainbow.
Yeah. Flag. Like, it's just more showing camaraderie. It's a pride thing, you know?
Yeah. I see that. I get that. Well,
yeah, I'm not sure. I saw it in San Francisco in their stadium flying, but I think it's cool that they are recognizing it. You know what I mean? I think it's cool that they are recognizing it. But like you say, I don't know if a flag is needed. I just think that the conversation needs to continue to go.
Right. Well, hey, listen, really appreciate you guys coming on the show, taking some time out of your schedules to come on to the show. Man, it was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, it was so great just to hear everybody's perspective and like their point of view, and we asked questions and we got to share our opinions and things that we're doing to help our communities and stuff like that. That's really, really awesome. Everybody who tuned in and watched and participated in the chat and donated to the cause and followed me and became a subscriber, all of those things are like massively appreciated. Excuse me, appreciated by me. And
we're doing this all for a really, really good cause, you guys. If you 100%. Want to, you know, help us out, go donate to the Equal Justice Initiative. The link is down below. It's a really, really great cause. Obviously, like, there are so many great causes to donate to out there. And if you don't have the money, some great ways to just like help out, or one of the best ways I know is go and play YouTube music. There's a channel, there's a Black Lives Matter playlist. And if you play it, all the ads that run through in between, like, money generates. So you're basically donating without even having to donate. There's really great ways to give. Are you guys giving in any certain ways or any certain platforms that you're excited about supporting right now?
I've donated to the movement. I've signed every petition that has been thrown at me. As far as the protesting goes, I haven't been able to protest. That's just my own personal discretion for me. Mm-hmm. But any way I can, I've used my platform to speak on my own experiences with racism, especially being an international athlete.
Right.
So I've tried to use my platform the best I can to keep the people who follow me very much informed.
What have their responses been? Like, what do the Ashley fans say when they see a kind of a more passionate side of you?
Well, the biggest response that I've gotten thus far is my own story about my first run-in with racism. I was very, very young. And I've gotten a lot of compassion. I think a lot of my experiences have shaped me into the woman that I am today. Because I do represent this country. And even being an Olympian, I experience and have experienced racism. But I've gotten a lot of support. Majority of it is like, I can't believe that happened to you. I can't believe that's something that you had to go through. But it's been very supportive, to say the least.
Can you tell us one of those experiences? I'm curious.
Sure. So when I was younger, I was in middle school, and I went to a predominantly white middle school.
And you grew up in Indiana or Illinois?
I can't remember. I grew up in Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana. I went 2 years at University of Illinois, then 2 years at University of Texas. I was one of the only 3 black kids in my class.
Wow.
My mom always taught me that, you know, you got to be just like Olivia Pope's mom. You got to be twice as good or twice as better as they are to be just as good. So I was all about my books. I wanted to answer the questions first. I wanted to get my homework done first. And it was always a battle between me and this boy named Jimmy. Jimmy hated me. Don't know why. Never really had an issue with him. He just hated me, hated my guts. There was one day, it was raining outside, so we couldn't go outside for recess. So we went to the library instead. And after reading for a while, I decided I wanted to play on the computer. So I walked, me and my friends walked to the computer, and Jimmy cut in front of me and sat down. And, you know, I politely asked him, you know, you saw me walk to the computer, you need to get up. My friends told him to get up, you know, that's not fair. Ashley, you watched Ashley walk over here, you need to stand. And he stood up and he looked down at me and said, because, you know, he was taller than me. And he looked down at me and said, I can't wait till I'm president so I can put you back into slavery where you belong. And it really shook my whole world because we was taught about racism, but I've never experienced it. And with me being so young, I didn't know how to take it. So it never really resonated in me how strong and powerful those words were until this very year. And I realized, like, it was wrong then, but I couldn't understand how wrong it was. And so I told my story, and everybody, I got a whole bunch of love. And I was sitting in my office, and I was looking at my bib number from the Olympics, and I was wondering, like, I thought to myself, I wonder if the boy who told me I belonged in slavery watched me win Olympic gold for this country.
Oh, I saw
the country that you live in.
Yeah.
So I use experiences like that as fuel to my fire because I represent you no matter how much you hate me. And I'm proud to do it because that's just the grace of God that I've been blessed with. You know, I take hate and I carry it with grace. So
wow. You are so strong.
I'm sorry.
Has he ever reached back out to you?
I hope he never does. But that's just, I don't have anything nice to say to him right now, but I came across his Facebook page in high school, but I never did again after that.
Gotcha.
Wow. Quandre, when you hear Ashley's story, does that make you think back on things that you experienced or your first experience with racism, a run-in when you were young?
Well, I grew up, like I've said, I grew up in a small town 30 minutes away from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up around, you know, I mean, I grew up around great people. Don't get me wrong. I love my town. I love where I'm from. But it definitely has parts of racism in it. Heck, one of the teams I used to play football and basketball in, they're one of the most racist towns in Texas. And as a kid just growing up, you know, my mom always told me, you know, it's certain areas that I couldn't be at. You know what I mean? It's certain towns that you can't stop at. And, you know what I mean? For me, it was just kind of being aware of that. And I've always been kind of mature. I've always been an old soul. So for me, even when I would go places, you know what I mean? It was more of like, hey, we got to be alert here. You know what I mean? It's just kind of one of those things. But I wouldn't say, like, I've been called the N-word and all that. You know what I mean? But that's just, I'm not going to downplay it, but it's just something that I've been used to. But I think for me, my experience is more, my girlfriend is white. My girlfriend is white. She has my daughter. My daughter is interracial. But 2 years ago, my best friend got married in East Texas. You know what I mean? If you're from Texas, you know that East Texas could be racist. It has a lot of racism in there. A lot of things like that. And I think, we were leaving my best friend's wedding and my girlfriend had to pee. She had to pee really bad. And me knowing, being from Texas, understanding, you know what I mean? Just understanding the type of places that we at. I'm just like, well, can you hold it till we get a little bit, you know, out of East Texas? Like, let's just hold it a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I really have to pee, like, blah, blah. Her not understanding, you know what I mean? Her not understanding that
right.
I'm a black man. I'm in a Ford Raptor, you know what I mean? So you're not really known to see black guys in Ford Raptors and things like that. And then I have a white girl in my passenger seat, you know what I mean? So she's just like, Could you just stop right here? So eventually I got fed up and I'm just like, okay, let's stop. Me, I have my license to carry in Texas, so I can feel more, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm safe, you know what I mean? I'm cool. I got my gun. So, okay, we pull up to the gas station, and I tell you, it's like a freaking movie. I pull up to the gas station. I don't know what town we are in East Texas, but I pull up, and like as soon as I pull up, it's like, you know, like those gas stations that you just think of an old country movie where you can see like the glass windows at the front, and you got people sitting in front of people sitting in those glass windows. They can look outside. So, you know what I mean? So like we pull up, and as we pull up, my girlfriend gets out the car. So she gets out the car. She walks in, just walks in, not thinking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, right. They look at her and see her. They look back out to the car and they look at me and they staring at me like, you know, they got that look. You know, when you feel, when you're being judged, you know, when people looking at you like, ah, man, why is she with that black guy? You know what I mean? It's just, that's the feeling I had. And growing up, you know what I mean? You can always feel that tension. It's always that tension when you're around people that don't want to be around you. And I just remember getting back in the car, and I kind of had to let her have it. Like, yo, like, I'm gonna tell you something. We can't be stopping anywhere. It's certain things that you can do that I can't do. And it's the things that need to be explained. But she didn't know that. And that's kind of like how the conversation is now. You know what I mean? I have a lot of white friends. I have a lot of friends that don't know about where I came from. Everybody see, oh, he's an NFL player. His brother was an NFL player. He came up good. But I grew up in the hood. I grew up in a bad area.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I understood that people looked at me differently. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like I need to let people know that, because people don't understand how I feel about certain situations. And, you know what I mean? I think my encounter with racism hasn't been to the extreme like Ashley, where, you know what I mean, dude said he want to put her back in slavery. But it's just like my deal has been more about teaching my white friends and my white, you know, coworkers about what we deal with, you know what I mean, what we deal with being a black American. So Ashley's story is definitely different from mine, and I probably wouldn't have been able to handle it as well as she handled it. But, you know what I mean, it's crazy times out here. It's crazy world, and, you know, as the older I get, the more and more I see stuff.
Right, and the more you see stuff as you move across the country, like, I know I've mentioned it so many times, but Rob and I both growing up in California, it was so different out here. I had no idea that the rest of the country was dealing with the amount of racism, because I grew up in a really, really diverse area, and it just was wild to me to see that. Like, it felt like going back to the 1950s. And I know, Officer and Rob, you guys grew up together. What was your relationship like, and how did it feel, Rob, to know, okay, I trust police officers, the police are in my family, but I've been pulled over so many times, and I'm referring to an old story, I've been pulled over so many times because of the way I look.
Yeah, I mean, these are stories that I didn't share with them at that time. You know, even though California is such a diverse, you know, state, and we lived in such a diverse area, you know, I still had to deal with being black at the end of the day, going to school and being the only black kid in the class and stuff like that. And you know, I never minded until, you know, you deal with a situation. I had a similar situation. Literally, those exact same words were said to me. That were said to Ashley.
How old were you?
When I was a kid. I don't know. I was in elementary school, though.
Oh, gosh.
And, yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, you want to fight, you know. But my dad, you know, my dad is a pastor. So, like, you know, I grew up, you know, going to church. And so I always had to, my response always had to be to walk away. You know, not even to really even speak my mind either. You know, my dad always kind of, you know, he's somewhat advised against that. It's just better to walk away. I mean, think about it. You know, my dad is in his, in the latter part of his 60s now. So, you know, him growing up, that's probably what he was used to having to do. Just better to walk away.
That was a Tuesday.
Or else something, you know, more dangerous can potentially happen to you. And so, yeah, you know, Trev is like a younger brother to me, is a younger brother to me. Like, I deemed his parents as my godparents because of how much they've always taken care of me and looked out for me my entire life. And they were just an incredible family. His older brother I've known since I was in kindergarten. And we're still, you know, best friends today. Mm-hmm. And I was the best man in his wedding, you know, and stuff like that. We never had these kind of conversations, though. I always respected, you know, cops, but it seems to change when you get your driver's license. You know, mm-hmm. I tell people that's like once you start driving, it's like, you know, it's like, man, the eye is on you, like, mm-hmm. you know, more like it's like, you know, you just become a suspect, you know, like that, you know. And so I was finally able to share some of my stories with our officer that's on the show, and being pulled over, and you know, and the cop telling me that, you know,
you suddenly look like somebody looking for.
The car,
like, I'm not even from over here.
You know, you right. Like the car that we were looking for.
But that's when they say, "Oh, why are you driving over here?"
I'm like, "Well, I live down the street. My hat is backwards, and you're black, and your seat is low. So, what do you expect me to think?" And it's comments like that. It's just like, you know, like, wow, like. People cross the street when they see you walk in, you know, it's like, oh, that's a black dude. I'm going to go on the side. And so you just experience those things, and you just have to, you know, you just deal with it. Those are things that you just deal with, you know, being black. And so I always 100%, I was like, dude, cops are just doing their job. You know, yeah. I had a friend who was always kind of, you know, had, you know, some issues with cops and stuff like that. He'd probably seen a little bit more at a young age than I did. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, I knew of, you know, his father being a cop, a detective, a sergeant, all those things. And, you know, coming to the elementary school with his K-9 and doing like little demonstrations of like the arm with the cast and all that kind of shit. Right. You know, you think it's cool, you know, all that stuff, man, was dope, you know.
But career day.
You get older, you have your own personal experience, negative experiences. And you're just like, man, but at the end of the day, you know, at least for me, I always try to keep a positive mindset, love, you know, in my heart. And you know, once if we can continue to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think things will change for the better for it.
Hey, Turbo, I got a question, because you said when you're 16, and I saw this on the internet, and I've been asking people this, when do we go from the cute little black kid, oh, he's so cute, she's so cute, to the threat in the world?
When you start driving.
Yeah.
Anytime you look like you are educated, on the come up, not anytime you don't look threatening is when you become a target. Like, you almost have to look threatening, and then at that point you're threatening.
Yeah,
it's right. Because like
when you're a kid, it's like you're just a kid. You're a kid.
Yeah,
You know, you just. But it's like, you know, once you start being able to like operate on your own, move on your own, you get keys to a car. You know, even though you're not an adult, you're like one, right?
Right.
Freedom to like. Get hopping and go anywhere. Where are we going? What are we doing? You know, this weekend, we got this. We got, and essentially, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what we look. I don't know if we look intimidating. It just, you know, we just become some sort of a threat. But that is changing, hopefully,
right.
In my opinion. And that's what we're here for.
So. Officer, when you hear Rob describe all the experiences that were going on, do you remember any of that? Like, any kind of signs that you saw, or what was going through your head when you were a kid? Were you just kind of unaware?
Yeah, completely just blind to it. Me and Rob talked a few weeks ago, and we're on the phone. And he's telling me these things, and I'm just like, I had no clue. Even Rob, like, he was a star athlete in all the sports we were in. Always Robert and my older brother. They were always the golden childs. And, So to think that, you know, you would think he still wouldn't be a target, but he was telling me he still was looked at, or people would still keep a distance from him. And that's kind of what I alluded to earlier, being a training officer, you know, molding the younger police officers that are coming into this profession, to treat people with respect. Everybody, doesn't matter who it is, if it's the same class, race, age, beliefs, whatever, you're still going to treat them with respect. And to hear a police officer say, well, I pulled you over because you're black and your hat's backwards, like, that to me is just outrageous. And that just irritates me to no end, just to hear that. And so, yeah, just, but as a kid growing up, I was unaware.
Hey man, we was too busy. We were too busy playing cops and robbers and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I just think those conversations also that we didn't want to have with our white friends. It was like, we didn't want them to feel us, treat us any different.
Bro.
You know what I mean? We just like, just treat me for who I am. Right.
Kept that on the low. I was cool yesterday. You don't have to pat me on the back today. That's what we go through.
You don't want a pity.
No,
right.
No pity parties. Like, we want to be treated with the same amount of respect that people give you. That's it.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up here, just a reminder, please donate to the Equal Justice Initiative. The link is down below. Quandre and Ashley, anything exciting that you guys have going on that you can tell us about right now and we can go support you?
I would say the Olympics, but
her Cash App's open, everyone.
I don't really have anything. I'm in the process of starting my foundation.
That's exciting.
In the process of doing that now. So when I have more information on that, I'm sure I'll shoot it to Turbo, let him broadcast it. And hopefully you guys have me on again one day.
Yeah.
And I can promote it also.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Rob?
What's up?
You're a philanthropist of the gods. Do you want to plug anything here?
You know me. I'm chipping away at the ice, baby, every day. I'm trying
to support the Running for You Foundation.
Y'all make sure y'all stream Thoughts from the Throne. That's my own podcast.
Yes, that's what we were saying. Go listen to her podcast, you guys.
It's just about my... It's about my own life. It's about my own experiences.
Right.
If you liked what you heard today, you'll like that even better.
You'll like Thoughts from the Throne. And I'm in the process of developing my own shampoo and conditioners, but that has nothing to do with
I love it. I love it. You know? I love it. I love it. Tell me when. I will promote. Absolutely.
Cool.
100%.
I would like to throw a plug in there real quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the athletes here, I know you guys are crazy busy, but ask to go on a ride-along maybe with your local police department.
Totally.
Or a Citizens Academy. We host Citizens Academy at my department, and I think they're life-changing. It just gives you a different perspective of what actually happens in a day-to-day.
Yes.
And for everyone listening, too, if you are curious about what happens in a police officer's day, always ask. With COVID, they kind of shut down, but we're starting to open our ride-along system back up.
So how can people go and request a ride-along? What's the generic protocol?
I'm sure, like, on the department's website, there might be a request form, or if not, just give them a call. I don't know, honestly. I know our department, they have, you could apply to be in the Citizens Academy, and in that, they go through every division, and it's like a 12-week class once a week, and they end up learning the mini crash course of each division. So it's pretty interesting, pretty cool.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love that. Well, educate yourselves, you guys. Yeah, seriously. I mean, I've gotten to go on quite a few ride-alongs. You know, being a journalist, my last station I was working at, I was an anchor out there, and I balanced my time between mostly sports, but there were times I had to go work breaking news, and I went on quite a few ride-alongs with, you know, Washington State Patrol, and they're fun, except for the one time that I had to go to a fatal crash. But honestly, like, you learn so much, and just seeing all that's in the car, and like the amount of things. Honestly, like, I'm going to get so hated for saying this. Police officers are really good distracted drivers. Like,
right. Y'all can be on computers, but I can't look at my phone.
Exactly. Like, what? What is up with that?
I just want to speed without getting a ticket. That? Can I speed without getting can I just
exactly.
drive?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's me, all oh, I'm going to do. All the police so I'm going to take a selfie going through. This.
Let me
the lighting
drive
is
fast.
Great on the interstate. I'm just saying.
I Man, just want to go fast.
Turbo. Like you know, it really ain't no police in Seattle like that when I was out there.
We heard.
Andre about to get all the police in Seattle.
Hey, as long as they leave me alone, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, they're all in Capitol Hill, man.
What's the Will Ferrell character when he's a racer car driver?
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby. Talladega
Nights.
You ain't pushing
like Ricky Bobby, baby. Yeah, man. That's it.
Oh man.
All right, y'all. And appreciate everybody coming on to the show. Thank you guys for, you know, everything that you've, you know, said today. It's freaking awesome. Awesome. Honestly.
And yeah. So, the honesty is the best policy here on Turbo Talk Live Roundtables. We love it. And that's why we bring you guys back.
You can't fuck with the police.
You
can't fuck with the police. All right.
It's time to go to bed.
You're right. I need to go get some water.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. This was awesome.
Yeah. You sound like O'Shea.
It does. It does.
I thought it was straight out of
That's what, okay, thank you. I'm not crazy. That's what I thought originally. I was like, okay.
Bridget, I would have been right by your side.
That's okay.
Ashley, I'm about to pull your card.
That's okay. Keep
playing. Queen, everything. The queen, the throne.
Get a
new name. Yeah, I don't think she's worried about that. I think she's got enough.
All right.
Rob, I think you should be more concerned. All right. You guys, thank you so much. Make sure you tune in next week to our next roundtable. What, the 8th, Rob? Wednesday?
July 8th.
July 8th.
Our next roundtable. We don't have all of the names confirmed yet, but it will feature Joe Thomas, Dez Bryant, two more great talent on the show. Stay tuned. Yeah. We will continue to fill you guys in.
Come back. And of course, follow us on Instagram to get all of the information. Rob keeps you posted. That's the best way to do it. But otherwise, you guys have a great night. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And thank you to all our guests, Officer Quandre, Ashley. You guys are awesome. And Renee. Invisible Renee.
You know, she's busy, y'all. She big time now. She got all the kind of
she
stuff.
She is. You guys, she got to squeeze us in. I feel special that she made an appearance. This is awesome. So you guys, we'll close it out here. But till next time, till next week.
Mouth double as a freeze ray. The grills in my mouth double as a freeze ray.